This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، Welcome to another episode of our Tafsir program, page by page. And inshallah ta'ala, today We are going to finish off page 164, because there's about half of that page left, and then inshallah 165 as well, which is the ninth juz, Surah Al-A'raf. In the previous episode, we started the story of Musa and Pharaoh, and how Musa alayhi salatu wassalam was told by Allah azza wa jal to go and call Pharaoh to Islam and to Tawheed, and he did so. And he gave him the signs that Allah azza wa jal gave to him of the serpent, of the staff turning into a serpent, and the brightness of his hand, and how it was free of any harm. Pharaoh then responds by gathering all of his sorcerers, or the major or the most proficient sorcerers of his kingdom, and bringing them together so that they can duel with Musa alayhi salam and overcome him, and show the supremacy of Pharaoh over the supremacy of what Musa alayhi salam is calling to. And that is where we continue the story, now that the sorcerers have gathered and they've said to Pharaoh, what do we get if we win? And Pharaoh says, I'll draw you close. I will give you what you will benefit from when you are close in my inner circle of people. And you will benefit in that way. And so now Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us then what takes place next. And this is the duel now between the sorcerers and Musa alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse 115, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قَالُوا يَا مُوسَى إِمَّا أَن تُلْقِيَ وَإِمَّا أَن نَكُونَ نَحْنُ الْمُلْقِينَ. So they said, Musa, will you throw first or shall we? This shows a level of nonchalance. It shows a level of not caring, not thinking that it's going to be a major issue. You have not just one, but maybe dozens of major sorcerers, the most proficient and learned in the whole kingdom of Egypt. And they've come together and they find in front of them a single man who doesn't look very impressive, who's not very eloquent in his speech, who only has a staff in with him. And it's as if they're saying, is this what we all came for? Like, this is the challenge? Like, we thought that it's going to be something major. So they say to him, okay, it's up to you. Let's get this over and done with. Do you want to go first? Shall we go first? How do you want to do this? So it shows a level of not caring on their part, because they think that it's not going to be something which is even worthy of their time and their consideration. Musa alayhi salam responds, as Allah tells us in verse 116, قَالَ أَلْقُوا فَلَمَّا أَلْقَوْا سَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَرْهَبُوهُمْ وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. He said, you throw first. And they did, casting a spell on people's eyes, striking fear into them and bringing about a great sorcery. So Musa alayhi salam says, you go first. And that is from his wisdom and from his knowledge, so that he can see what they can present, because his sorcery will overcome, or his miracle rather, his sign from Allah azza wa jalla, will overcome their sorcery. And so he wants them to go first. And so he allows them to go first, and they throw what they have of their sticks and their ropes and all of the things that they brought forth, and they also become images of snakes that are moving. And so when they do that and the people see this, they become afraid, because snakes are a fearsome animal, a reptile that people are often scared of and afraid of because of what they can do and the way that they can strike and the poison that they hold and so on. وَاسْتَرْهَبُوهُمْ. They caused fear in all of these people. And remember, this is, as we said in the last episode, it is done on a day of festival where the people have gathered. So it's not just Pharaoh and the sorcerers and Musa, but it is his people, his advisors and his entourage, and the people in general are told to come, because it's a day of festival, so it's a public holiday, and the people are out in celebration of whatever it is that they were celebrating. So they come and they see this. وَاسْتَرْهَبُوهُمْ. And the people are amazed at this, what the sorcerers have produced. وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. And Allah says that they brought about a great sorcery. So now Musa responds, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in verse 117, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَلْقِ عَصَاكَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَلْقَفُ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ. Then we inspired to Musa alayhi salam, throw down your staff, and lo and behold, it devoured their fakery. Look at this amazing sign from Allah Azza wa Jal. Number one, it is a staff that Musa holds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn anything into a miracle because Allah controls the heavens and the earth. Any object that is inanimate, it is enough for Allah azza wa jal to turn it into his sign if he so pleases subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we have the sign of Musa alayhi salam holding a simple stick. The stick wasn't given to Musa by Allah azza wa jal. It didn't come down from heaven to Musa alayhi salam, but rather, as Allah azza wa jal mentions to us in Surah Taha, when he first comes Musa alayhi salam to the mountain of At-Tur and Allah speaks to him, Allah azza wa jal says, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. O Musa, what are you holding in your right hand? Meaning he already has it. He's been using it. It's been used for many mundane issues and affairs that Musa alayhi salam has been using it for only Allah knows how long. And so it is already a stick. But what does Allah Azza wa Jal do? He will turn that stick into a sign as he pleases subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jal can do that as he pleases Jalla fi'ula. And that's why you see in the lifetime of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his sunnah, numerous narrations of how many things become signs and many things become miracles. Food sometimes, and water sometimes, and stones sometimes, and different inanimate objects that Allah Azza wa Jal gives them the ability to do certain things for his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So likewise, Musa alayhi salam here has a simple stick. These people have come prepared. They've studied a lifetime in their sorcery, and they've come and they've shown the epitome of their sorcery to these people and displayed it. Musa alayhi salam is given instruction by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We revealed or inspired to Musa, throw down your staff. That's all that you have to do. You don't have to do anything more. You don't have to incant any spells or do anything or come up with anything, because you don't need any of that which they have. You have on your side the Lord and the Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal is with you. All you have to do is throw it down. A simple action. And so that is what he does. And what he does is that his stick then turns into a serpent, فَإِذَا هِيَ تَلْقَفُ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ, and it devours their sorcery. Those magicians knew how sorcery worked. And they knew that they could make certain things appear to be moving, the trick of an eye, or the sleight of hand, or whatever it is that they had the ability to do in order to make things look in a certain way and appear in a certain way and make it look to the masses to be in a certain way. But they knew that they couldn't get magic to overcome magic in that way, to devour magic, that even their sticks and their and whatever that they possessed, none of it now remains because of what has happened by the staff of Musa alayhi salam. فَإِذَا هِيَ تَلْقَفُ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ. So it comes and it devours everything that they had. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, commenting upon this in verse 118, فَوَقَعَ الْحَقُّ وَبَطَلَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. The truth was confirmed and what they had produced came to nothing. Because they are not fighting sorcery with sorcery, those magicians. But rather they are fighting Tawheed and Iman and the Messenger of Allah, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And who can stand against Allah Azza wa Jal? Who can oppose the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even if everything in the universe was to come together and to unite and to cooperate in order to stand before Allah Azza wa Jal, it wouldn't be able to do the smallest, minutest of harm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It would be less than insignificant, would have no bearing at all in any way, shape or form. And so when they bring everything, but Musa alayhi salam has Allah Azza wa Jal on his side, فَوَقَعَ الْحَقِّ, the truth became clear. وَبَطَلَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and that which they produced of falsehood, it came to nothing. Produced nothing. So what happens there? Allah Azza wa Jal says in verse 119, فَغُلِبُوا هُنَالِكَ وَانْقَلَبُوا صَاغِرِينَ, and they were defeated and utterly humiliated. They were defeated by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal, by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were humiliated because they thought that their power, their numbers, their influence, their expertise, their wealth, the power of Pharaoh with them and his influence and his armies and his wealth and his kingdom, that would be enough to oppose the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. But they were left humiliated by this simple man, this one individual who to the naked eye didn't seem like he was anything. But in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, he is from the greatest and most beloved of creation to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal honors Musa alayhi salam. And so he overcomes everything that they produced by a simple command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by his will, Jalla fi'ula. And the sorcerers see this and they acknowledge this. They recognize this for what it is, because they know their trade. They know what it is that they do. They know their science better than anyone else, or their art form better than anyone else. And so when they see this, they recognize it for what it is, and that is a sign from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in verse 120, وَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ. The sorcerers fell down in prostration. They fell down because they saw the greatness of what Musa alayhi salam presented. And they fell down because they knew that this is a sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This man who has come with this, he is a messenger and a prophet of his Lord alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah Azza wa Jalla continues in verse 121, قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And they said, we believe in the Lord of all that exists. And in verse 122, they continue, رَبِّ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ. The Lord of Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam. We believe in that which this man has brought. We believe in his Lord. And look at how Iman, when it is pure, and when it is accepted, and when a person recognizes the signs, it is immediate. These sorcerers no longer care about Pharaoh. They no longer care about his power or his influence or his wealth. They no longer care about his tyranny and his oppression. They no longer care that he has so many armies and that he does a great amount of evil. Nor do they care about anything else. Nor do they say we need to go and think about this, or we need to reconvene the sorcerers amongst ourselves and discuss this and debate this and research this. They don't say any of this. They recognize it for what it is, and immediately they turn and fall into prostration and they declare the tawheed and belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that is the beauty of Iman. When a person has pure heart, when a person has a noble intention, when a person is seeking the truth and guidance, then Allah Azza wa Jal honors them and blesses them. And nothing else in the dunya is important to them. They don't care what people think. They don't care what people will say. They don't care what people will cast upon them in terms of aspersions and different types of... They don't care about anything of the dunya. Remember, these sorcerers are in the middle of the people. There are masses of people around them. Then there is Pharaoh and his armies. Then there is his advisors and his men at the nobility. But they don't care about any of that, because they saw the sign of Allah Azza wa Jal and they turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Iman. How does Pharaoh respond? Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in verse 123. Does Pharaoh see this and say, wow, these are the people that I gathered from the different corners of my kingdom? They don't know each other. They haven't colluded with each other. They haven't come up with a plan with each other. Let alone with each other, they don't know Musa alayhi salam for sure. He doesn't know them, and he hasn't been with them, and he hasn't done anything in conspiracy with them. So surely this must be a sign from Allah. Let me take the word of these people who are experts that I brought, because I consider them to be experts. And despite all of the trappings and temptations of the dunya, the promises of reward that I was giving to them, they've said, actually no, this is the truth. How does Pharaoh respond? Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in verse 123, قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ قَبْلَ قَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ آذَنَ لَكُمْ إِنَّ هَذَا لَمَكْرٌ مَكَرْتُمُوهُ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ لِتُخْرِجُوا مِنْهَا أَهْلَهَا فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. But Pharaoh said, how dare you believe in him before I have given you permission? This is a plot you have hatched to drive the people out of the city. Soon you will see. Rather than accepting and believing, what does he do? He again rationalizes and justifies. And this shows, as we've said before, the principle that Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us is true in the Quran. And that is, the people of arrogance and disbelief who will never accept guidance, who will never accept the message of Allah, it doesn't matter what signs come to them, they will never accept Iman. They will never believe in Allah. They will never accept the prophets and messengers of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam. Pharaoh is doing the same here. What does he say? He says, how dare you do this? How dare you believe before I gave you permission? But rather, this is a great conspiracy that all of you hatched together in order to drive us out from the city. Now, anyone that's sitting there and thinking about this logically, rationally, anyone who's sensible and looks at this situation will say, clearly they haven't spoken to each other. Clearly there's no conspiracy going on. Clearly there's no money involved here, because you only have a conspiracy if you want to get more wealth or more money. Pharaoh's already promised them all of that. He's already said to them that there will be no one closer to me than you. You will be from my inner circle. So what more are they seeking? And surely even if he was to be dethroned and Musa alayhi salam is hatching a plot to come into their place, then they're back in square one anyway. They're back in the same position anyway. So why go through all of this? Just simply to get something that they can't guarantee by Musa alayhi salam winning, when they have already been guaranteed that by Pharaoh winning. And so it doesn't make sense. But Pharaoh isn't willing to believe. Pharaoh doesn't want to take Iman. Pharaoh will look at all of the signs that Allah will send to him, these ones and the further ones that Allah will then give to him later on, as will be mentioned elsewhere in the Quran, and he will reject them out. He will reject them all. He will deny them all. And he will turn away from them all, and he will not accept even one of them. But rather, he will justify his position, he will rationalize it, he will use these different types of tactics that he's using in order to manipulate the way that people think as well. So what does he do? He reverts to form in verse 24. He goes back to what he's known for. His violence, his aggression, his tyranny. He says, لَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ ثُمَّ لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. I will cut off your alternate hands and feet, and then I will crucify you all. Meaning that now that you've done this, I will punish you. And I will punish you in a way that is far worse than what most people have. I will cut off your alternate hands and feet, meaning your right hand and your left foot, and then I will place you on a cross and I will crucify you as well. Meaning I will punish you in the worst of ways. I will punish you in the worst of forms. And that is because of what the humility that you've caused me, the problem that you're causing me now, because people are looking at this and they're amazed that what's going on, maybe there's some truth to this man, maybe he is who he, and the whole society is going to have a problem now. And this is exactly what the Quraysh did with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they feared his influence, when they feared that people were actually going to listen to his message, they revert to violence, they revert to aggression, they revert to tyranny. Because even if you think that it might be right, are you willing to sacrifice your wealth, your position? Are you willing to sacrifice your safety, your well-being? Are you willing to suffer the oppression and the tyranny? Takes a great deal of courage to be able to make that decision and to make that choice. And that is exactly what these sorcerers have. They have the courage and bravery that comes as a result of Iman. That you don't care about the dunya and everything in it. It is sufficient for you that you found your Lord and Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't care about what the people will do or will say, because you only want to please your Lord and Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they respond as Allah mentions to us in verse 125, قالوا إن إلى ربنا منقلبون. They said, we are returning to our Lord. We shall return to our Lord. Whatever happens, ultimately, we go back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And when we go back to Allah, that is where we will have our true reward. And that is where true punishment will take place. So whatever you do in the dunya, it's temporary. Whatever you do in the dunya, it is only for a few moments or days or weeks. Whatever you do, as long as it doesn't compromise our akhirah, all you can do is what you have the ability to do in this dunya. And that is why they continue in verse 126, Allah tells us, they continue and they say, وَمَا تَنْقِمُ مِنَّا إِلَّا أَنْ آمَنَّا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا لَمَّا جَاءَتْنَا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبَرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. Your only grievance against us is that we believed in the signs of our Lord when they came to us. Our Lord, pour steadfastness upon us and let us die in devotion to you. This is why you're upset, Pharaoh, because we believed when we saw the signs and you didn't do so. We beat you to it. And because we beat you to it, that's only increased you even more in your arrogance. And this is exactly what the Quraysh said. Didn't they say that surely we would should be the ones, if this had been good, we would have been the first ones. لَوْ كَانَ خَيْرًا مَا سَبَقُونَ إِلَيْهِ. If this was good, we would be the first ones to accept it. We would be at the forefront. We would be the ones to be honored. The fact that others have accepted it before us shows that it can't be true. Because again, they're using their arrogance to denote what is correct and incorrect, what is truth and what is falsehood. That's exactly what they're saying. We know you, Pharaoh. We believed when you didn't believe. And now that's even more of a source of shame for you. Because if you were to say, actually now it is true, because a person who's sincere wouldn't care anyway about that. But for you, you're thinking now, then the people will look at you and say, oh, these sorcerers who are just, you know, average people, but they're sorcerers, they knew what you didn't know, and you're meant to be our supreme leader, our supreme king, the Pharaoh of all of this empire and this kingdom. And so it's only increasing you in your arrogance and your disbelief. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلِينَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ. And then they turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla and they make dua that Allah gives to them patience and steadfastness and allows them to die upon Islam, because they know that the threat of Pharaoh is going to be true. He's going to harm them. He's going to punish them. He's going to severely torture them and eventually kill them. And so they just want to die upon Islam. They don't care about anything else. They don't want anything else. They don't want anything from the dunya, from the kingdom of Pharaoh. What they want is to die and meet Allah Azza wa Jalla in the state of Iman. And so they say, oh Allah, give us patience. give us steadfastness, give us death upon this religion of Islam. And that shows how in a short space of time, they understood the beauty of this religion. And that is what Islam does. Once you taste its sweetness, then you can arrive at that conclusion very quickly. Because these people don't have the time to go to Musa and learn about their religion. They don't have a great deal of time to go and to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, to do a great deal of good deeds, just as they were in the time of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, those who accepted Islam and very soon afterwards they died because they went to battle or something else happened. Their time as Muslims was very short indeed. But as soon as they knew that it was the truth, it was enough for them to sacrifice their lives for it, as these sorcerers are also willing to do. So then, now the people of Pharaoh have seen this, and this is causing them even more problems. So Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us what they do in verse 127. وَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِ فِرْعَوْنَ أَتَذَرُ مُوسَى وَقَوْمَهُ لِيُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَيَذَرَكَ وَآلِهَتَكَ قَالَ سَنُقَتِّلُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَنَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ وَإِنَّا فَوْقَهُمْ قَاهِرُونَ. The leaders amongst Pharaoh's people said to him, "But are you going to leave Musa and his people to spread corruption in the land and forsake you and your gods?" He replied, "We shall kill their male children, sparing only the females. We have complete power over them." So now that the nobility of Pharaoh are seeing this, and Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran, as we mentioned already, that there was not a prophet that was sent to a people except that Allah placed for him enemies from the humans and the jinn. And those are often the nobility and the people of influence that oppose the prophets and messengers of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Here now, the people who are the nobility around Pharaoh are seeing the danger signs. They're seeing that very quickly this situation can become extremely problematic for them as well. Yes, it's Pharaoh who's the leader, but they're also going to suffer because they're from the nobility and the wealthy and the people of influence. They have also benefits in terms of that position. So they say to Pharaoh, knowing that he's someone who's a tyrant, knowing that he becomes easily angered, knowing that he doesn't like to be undermined in any way, they say to him, "Are you going to allow Musa and these slaves, because his people are slaves, Bani Israel, are you going to allow Musa and these slaves to oppose you? Are you going to allow them to just leave? Are you going to just set them free according to what Musa demands? Are you going to allow them to forsake you and your gods and your religion and your way? Are you going to allow them to oppose you and your rule? Is this what you're going to settle for?" So Pharaoh becomes even more arrogant and he becomes even more angry, and he says, as he had already decreed upon them, but to reaffirm this even more strongly, سَنُقَتِّلُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ, we will kill the males from amongst them, وَنَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ, and we will allow their females to live and to continue, وَإِنَّا فَوْقَهُمْ قَاهِرُونَ, and we are ever over powerful over them, meaning we have the power to do so because they're our slaves. They have no power, they have no ability, they have no strength, they have no will to oppose us, and we can do upon them as we please. Allah Azza wa Jal then says that Musa alayhi salam said to his people Bani Israel in verse 128 that they should be patient, just as those sorcerers knew that they would have to be patient in the face of the harm and oppression and tyranny of Pharaoh. Likewise, you have to do the same, O Bani Israel. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in verse 128, قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ اسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Musa said to his people, "Turn to Allah for help and be steadfast. The earth belongs to Allah. He gives it as their own to whichever of his servants he chooses. And the happy future belongs to those who are mindful of him." Musa says to his people, "Turn to Allah, seek Allah's help, ask Allah for patience and steadfastness, because you're also going to be tried very severely. But remember that ultimately the earth belongs to Allah, and he inherits it to whomsoever he wills. Sooner or later, Allah will deal with Pharaoh if he continues upon this way, and you will inherit the land from him." And that's exactly what happens, as we know from the Quran. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying here that Musa is telling his people to be prepared, that that road is not easy, that it's full of hardship and difficulty and tyranny, and you must be patient upon it, just as the Muslims had to be so in the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ultimately, the end would be theirs, but look at the challenges and the hardships that the companions had to go through, the sacrifices they had to make in order to attain and reach that goal that Allah Azza wa Jalla had promised them. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, the end is always for the believers. In the final verse that we will take today, 129, Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us the first indication of how the people of Musa responded and how they used to behave in these times of challenge and trial. قَالُوا أُوذِينَا مِن قَبْلِ أَن تَأْتِيَنَا وَمِن بَعْدِ مَا جِئْتَنَا قَالَ عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يُهْلِكَ عَدُوَّكُمْ وَيَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. And they replied, meaning Bani Israel, "You were being persecuted long before you came to us, and since then as well. He said, your Lord may well destroy your enemy and make you successors to the land to see how you behave." Meaning that they're saying, what is the benefit of you, O Musa? They're not happy with what Musa is saying. They're not happy that the fact that things are only going to become harder before they become easier, that they're going to go through more trials before they see a sense of relief. "O Musa, before you came, things were hard. We were being harmed and persecuted. And now that you've come, it's still the same, if not going to be worse." So Musa alayhi salam says to them, "Perhaps your Lord will destroy these people who are your enemies, Pharaoh and his people, and he will make you successors upon the earth, and then he will see how you will behave." And that is something which obviously is what happens, because Allah Azza wa Jalla will eventually destroy Pharaoh, and Bani Israel do inherit the earth, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla tests and tries them as well in those positions. And that is why Allah Azza wa Jalla always tests people, as we said, whether you're in a position of ease or difficulty, whether you're the oppressor or the oppressed, whether you're the rich or the poor, all of these are tests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see how you will respond in those circumstances and in those situations. But with that, inshallah ta'ala, we come to the end of today's episode. Barakallahu feekum, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.